When I was in the seminary, the seminarians had a saying that we would use with each other sometimes. It's better to know God than to know about God. Sometimes we would get quite busy, and the temptation would be to work on a paper, or to read more, or to study more, instead of going to the chapel and getting a good amount of prayer time in, that personal time with Jesus. And so if we knew a guy was struggling with that decision, wanting to do something else other than go to prayer, we would say to him, "Hey, remember, it's better to know God than to know about God." And I think we can all see this in our own lives. When we hear about somebody before we actually meet them, we kind of form a picture of them in our mind. We feel like we know them without actually knowing them before we actually meet them. But then once we do meet them, we often say to ourselves, you're actually a little different than I thought you were. I'm glad that I actually know you now and not just know about you. And I think this is what's happening in our gospel today. There's a difference between knowing somebody and simply knowing about them. It amazes me that it's the same fact about the master that motivates all three of the servants, the two good servants and the one wicked servant. They all know this same fact about the master, and it motivates all of their actions. And the fact is that the master is a demanding person. He harvests where he didn't plant. He gathers where he didn't scatter. And yet, two of them act in a good way, one acts in a wicked way. What's the difference? Well, again, I think it's that the two good servants actually knew their master. They knew his heart. They knew what he really wanted from them. Whereas the wicked servant only knew this one thing about him and didn't really understand the master's heart. This relationship with the master that the two good servants had allowed them to be free. It allowed them to go out and trade, to be bold with the gifts they had been given, and to not be crippled by fear, because they knew they were sharing in the master's goal. They were sharing in the master's mission. They knew they were going out and doing the things that the master himself would have done. And because of that, they could be confident about it. They knew that even if they failed while trying their best, that would still be good enough for the master. On the other hand, the wicked servant is crippled by fear. He doesn't know the master. He doesn't know the master's heart. He doesn't know the master's business. He can't participate in the master's mission because he doesn't really know him. Because of that, he buries that talent. He buries that gift. And he is wicked and lazy because of it. So the question for us, brothers and sisters, is, do we really know our master? Do we know the heart of the Father? Or do we simply know things about him? And of course, we realize the gifts that we've been given in our lives are meant for us to go out, to use them, to build up the kingdom with them. That's the very obvious point of this passage. We're not given gifts simply for ourselves, for our own benefit. No, we're meant to use them. Go out, spread the gospel, build up the kingdom by using those things that God has given you. But we still have to realize that those gifts, and in fact, every situation in your life, your flaws, your family situation, your work situation, anything that's happening in your life, doesn't make sense apart from your relationship with the Father. If you are not grounded, if you are not rooted in that relationship that you have with the Father, the things that happen in your life are not going to make sense. However, if you take your identity in that relationship, if you take your identity in the fact that you are a beloved son, that you are a beloved daughter of God the Father, then you will be set free from the fears that you have. You will be about the Father's mission. You will know his heart. You will be able to go out and do the things that he's calling you to do without fear. Because you know that even though you're trying your best, even if you fail, That'll be good enough for God. He asks that we try. He asks that we give him everything. He asks that we be in this deep relationship with him. And then knowing that, we come to the question, well, gosh, Father, how do I do that? How do I get to this place where I'm in a deep relationship with the Father? How do I know God rather than just merely know about him? Well, brothers and sisters, you are in the perfect place to start. Because realize that every single Mass we go to, God himself is present to us. The Eucharist is God himself. Can't say that any more clearly. It is his body, blood, soul, and divinity made present to us. And when we receive the Eucharist, God really, literally lives inside of us, present to our souls, present to our hearts. What better way to start your relationship, to start building a real relationship, to start knowing God himself, than for him to live in you? It doesn't get any better than that. So today at this Mass, don't waste the opportunity that you are given to be in that deep relationship with Jesus. Don't waste the time after communion by not praying. Don't shortchange yourself by going back to your pew and letting your mind wander. Don't shortchange yourself by leaving after communion. The Mass is not over yet. There is still more to it. The Lord really lives inside of you at that point. Spend that time with him. Ask him to inflame your heart with his love. Ask him to reveal his heart to you. Brothers and sisters, simply go to the Lord in your life. Simply let this prayer of the Mass, the closeness that you have with God in this Eucharist, let that flow into every other part of your life so that you can be the kind of servant that he's calling you to be, so that you will never be counted among those wicked and lazy servants who get kicked out of the household, and so that when your time comes to meet the Master, he will say to you those beautiful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."